Matt Finnis has been good enough to join me, St Kilda CEO. Welcome to you, Matt. Great to have you on the program. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you, Dwayne.
It's an interesting game tomorrow night. It means a lot, and yet it also means a lot off the field, Matty's match, in so many ways.
It's hard to believe that this is the sixth year, Dwayne, of Matty's match. And it's really quite amazing what Nick and his family have been able to do in honour of their sister, and you know, the money that they've raised, the research that they've sponsored. You know, I can only imagine how proud Matty would be, and you know, we're really proud to be associated with it.
And obviously, we're hoping for a great ceremony and a great game. Crowd-wise, do you think we're going to head back to 100% at some stage in the coming weeks?
Well, I hope so. The sense I had from conversations this week, you know, is if the some of the data collection that the AFL are trialling this weekend, you know, to really be able to demonstrate, you know, good knowledge of who's in the stadium, which is so important for the, you know, for the tracing. If we can get through that, then it feels to me like 100% in sight.
And if there's 100% in sight, do you think we're going to end some of the ticketing issues, some of the member beefs about where they're sitting and who they can sit with and why they can't sit in their normal seats? Are all of those kind of things going to be able to be sorted out a lot easier?
Well, that's our aim, Dwayne. I hazard to think that we get all of those resolved at once, but certainly from our point of view, you know, we on the phone to our members day in, day out, week in, week out, and it's been, you know, it's been challenging. And first and foremost, you know, we'd love people to be able to get back, you know, to their seats and being able to enjoy the game, you know, with their family members and around, you know, the fans that they've grown up in many cases watching the footy with. So it's certainly a St Kilda, that's a priority for us. But I'm sure there'll still be, you know, some compliance things that we've all got to do, which are part of everyday life, you know, in a post-COVID world.
What's been the biggest problem with members, with fans that have called with an issue on the ticketing?
Oh, look, I mean, I think some people are, you know, at the end of the day, I guess we're disrupting a generational habit, aren't we? You know, that I get my membership tickets out to me at the start of the year. I can turn up, you know, when I want, scan my card, and I go on and sit in my seat. And we shouldn't take that for granted, I suppose, in terms of the way in which people like to go to the footy, and we're asking them to change that. And people, you know, can find uncertainties and difficulties with, you know, some of the online things. But by and large, you know, our members have been incredibly understanding. But, you know, change is difficult, and some people need more support with that than others.
So do you think we're going to be, even with 100%, we're going to be QR coding for quite a while? We could even be QR coding in 2022, couldn't we?
It feels like it. But again, I mean, you know, whether you're going to the local cafe or, you know, your local sporting club or it is that you're going to Marvel Stadium, you know, that's something which we've all got to become accustomed to. But, you know, the more we can, you know, get barriers out of people's way, the faster I think we'll have more people getting back to the footy.
How much does a CEO get involved in the ups and downs of on-field performance, Matt?
Well, I felt I was living the ups and downs last Saturday, Dwayne. Look, I mean, I think, you know, I guess, you know, what you're alluding to there is that, you know, from week to week, ultimately, you know, you put your trust in the football department, you know, to do the work. And as disappointed as we were, you know, against Essendon on Easter Saturday, you know, we were thrilled with the response that we got last week. But ultimately, that comes down to the process and, you know, the team that, you know, with Rats and his team there of coaches and the leadership group as well. And you know, even at half time when, you know, I think we were all pretty down, the fact that we were 5 goals behind, a lot of the numbers pointed to the fact, and the Saints fans could see that the players had bought the effort. And then, you know, pleasingly, that was able to prevail. And then we got, you know, a bit more damaging on the scoreboard.
Do you ever question yourself, okay, what can I do here to help Brett Ratten? What can I do as a CEO to help the players improve their performance? Or is that just impossible for you to do too much, given that, you know, you've got soft cap limits and, you know, you don't necessarily want to be the guy walking into the rooms after the game asking questions or looking around as to what's the answer, what can I do?
Yeah, I think I think you wouldn't be human if you weren't constantly asking yourself those questions. But ultimately, yeah, I think most of the CEO's work is done, you know, in getting the right people in the right places. And, Simon Lethlean does a terrific job in leading a broader program. And with Rats, we've got a terrific coach. He's well supported. And then, you know, off the field with our medical guys and physios. And to be fair, I mean, they've been as busy as at any club over the last couple of months. So, my job is, to ask the right questions at the right time, Dwayne, but also to make sure you're there to, support and create a pretty calm environment for people to be able to get to work.
Do you think sometimes, okay, can we sign this guy quicker? Can we get that contract done so it puts him at ease? And I'm not talking specifically about Jack Billings, who was non-committal about asking about his re-signing, but is that something a CEO can do? Okay, is it better if we lock this guy in?
Yeah, well, they're the debates that we have. They're the conversations that we have internally. But I guess part of, maybe being at a footy club a bit longer as well is that, I know that I reckon every time Jack's come out of contract since he's arrived at the footy club, he's left it later in the year to get that done. It's not been something he's ever rushed into. So, you have that history, great relationship with Jack, his wonderful family and his management. So, they're all the conversations that we have, and I think we hopefully come to the right decision with all the context on the table.
Do you think the soft cap will go up again next season, or where do you see the football department spend laying for the next couple of seasons?
I'd be surprised if it escalated dramatically again, Dwayne. We're really pleased that there's been, some good economic revival this year, but we're still dealing with, I reckon, 20-25% impact on crowds at the moment, putting aside even just the limit on capacity. So there's still a lot of uncertainty, I think, in the economics of what this rebound looks like for the industry. And so I'd imagine the AFL, having done some pretty heavy lifting last year, will be hastening slowly there. So, I think if there is increases, they'll be very smart and, very aimed at the right areas to ensure that we continue to grow and support growth, but where it's most needed.
Is the floating fixture good for a club like St Kilda, or is it difficult for members to make a commitment as to what they're going to do a long way out, given that we don't know when you're going to be playing and what time slot, what day?
Yeah, I think we'd all enjoy more certainty. For example, we've got a game, we've got a couple of games coming up in the middle of the year, on one on the Gold Coast, another one in Brisbane, another one up in Cairns even, but we don't precisely know what day those will be. So it does become a little difficult for people trying to book travel. But by and large, I'm a supporter of it, Dwayne. I think, I think the fixture flexibility allows the game to really showcase, the best teams and the best slots. And ultimately, our job as footy clubs is to make sure that we're doing everything we can to be one of those best teams that gets one of the best slots. So, no, I'm generally a supporter, but I guess if we can find the right balance between giving, whether it's 4, 5, or 6 weeks' notice, that'd be handy.
Do you give a guy like Paddy Ryder a call as a CEO and say, Paddy, how can I help? Or do you leave that to your football department and your medical staff and those people that are assigned to handle the players?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess speaking candidly, with Paddy, I had a chat with him in person before he went back, to Adelaide and then to Perth. We didn't talk personally when he was away because we had a protocol in place through the footy club. We were deliberately trying to give Paddy some space, and so we nominated a couple of people who were going to be in touch with him throughout that period. But I couldn't have been more pleased to be able to see him again when he got back to the club last week and see the smile on his face. And, he's such an important player for us, but he's such a wonderful person. And so just to see him, happier and more comfortable back last week gave everyone a lift.
And how are you going injury-wise? Who's out? Who's in this week? Ryan Marshall, Zach Jones, what's going on?
When I left Moorabbin this morning to head to some meetings, they were both out on the track, Dwayne. So I haven't heard since then. We've got our fair share of guys on the wrong side of the boundary line there with obviously Gears and James Frawley and Dan Hannabury. So we've got to hopefully get some of those guys coming back sooner rather than later. and Paddy as well. So I couldn't tell you exactly where those guys finished up this morning, but they were on the track looking like they were moving okay this morning.
And the VFL club team, Link, AFL Link, with this new competition, how difficult has it been to sort of navigate your way through those changes and try and, you know, keep the chemistry as tight between the two?
That's been pretty smooth for us, Dwayne. I mean, I think that probably goes to the benefit of having a pretty long-term partnership with Sandringham, which is a, you know, they're a terrific footy club. And, you know, I feel like maybe the new arrangements might see more clubs going back to that alignment. There was clearly a trend moving away from that and these standalone teams. But we've got a terrific partnership with Sandringham, and Jake Batchelor will make, you know, his coaching debut for them, I think on Friday actually, against the Tigers, and he's part of a big part of our development program. We can't wait to see that kick off, but we couldn't be more pleased with our relationship with one of the great teams of the VFL competition.
Matt, great to have a chat to you. Good luck with your on-field performance, and let's hope the Maddies match gets a big crowd and plenty of people support it as well. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Dwayne. Appreciate your support.
Matt Finnis, St Kilda CEO. You can head to mrv.org.au to find out more about Matty Riewoldt's vision. So mrv.org.au, and Matty's match tomorrow night as they aim to find new treatments for bone marrow failure syndromes.